Have you ever heard of a mirror flash? I hadn't until ABC Open producer Sean O'Brien dropped me a line to say that he'd just participated in one. This is Off Track on RN. I'm Joel Werner, and we'll hear more about mirror flashing later in the show. But up first, the next in the Permeate series. India Flint is a textile artist. She takes inspiration from trees, shrubs and flowers to create her plant-based dyes. Producer Miyuki Yoki Ranta heads to the Mount Lofty Ranges in South Australia to get a glimpse into India's studio, an abandoned blacksmith's cottage.
Surrounded by carolling magpies, India stokes the fire under her cauldron, as she calls it, coaxing the colour out of eucalyptus leaves bundled with virgin material. Counting time in cups of tea, the dye brew stews slowly as the leaves change colour from grey to green to a deep chocolate.
One of my favourite eucalypts is Eucalyptus nicolai, sometimes known as the peppermint, and it has the most beautiful long, thin leaves that are deep green, and when processed in a bundle, you get the most amazing deep red colour.
Well, my name is India Flint, and in a nutshell, I make stains on cloth using windfall leaves and water. A typical day for me will begin with a little saxophone practice, and then invariably, before I start work in the studio, I'll take a walk, and quite often, well, most times I'll come back with my pockets filled with leaves of one kind or another, because there's always something fabulous to be found on the ground.
Eucalyptus crenulata is another one that produces a lovely red. It has a tiny leaf, though, with a lace-like edge. This is where crenulata tells you about the leaf, because crenulate means lace-like.
Summertime. Being a little lazy when there was a particularly rainy set of days, dashing out to the churkyard, hurling the kitchen scraps, and then dashing back inside for a cup of tea, when I finally went out and investigated to see what the hens had been doing, one hen had laid three eggs, but had laid her eggs in a beautiful nest of eucalyptus leaves. And due to all the factors being there that are necessary in terms of transferring prints, there was heat, moisture, leaf matter, and lovely eggs. And I discovered to my joy and astonishment that the eggs had eucalyptus prints on them. When William Henry Perkin discovered by accident the first synthetic purple dye, in 1856, and he was really chasing quinine, but because his laboratory equipment was dirty, he ended up with purple. When he did that, within a few short generations, many, many secrets of dyeing were completely lost because people became very quickly seduced by the speed with which you could make colour. But I think speed isn't everything, and the joy of working slowly with plant life, you can work over a six-month process. You can make bundles and bury them under the snow and then see what happens next spring. It's really, really exciting. And the wonderful thing about the whole thing is that nothing ever turns out exactly the same. And all the prescriptive natural dye books even, which will tell you that if you, you know, take plant A and use mordant B and boil up a cloth in it, you'll get colour C. Even that isn't strictly true because the water's different everywhere. The growing conditions for the plant dye are different everywhere. Each cloth all take colour differently. So it's a wonderful thing that we can dye a cloth that reflects a difference, just as every human being is different from the other.
And then, of course, there's Eucalyptus citriodora, which is, I like to include a handful of Eucalyptus citriodora in every dye pot that I make for the fragrance. Citriodora tells us that it smells like lemons. But it's a particularly magic eucalyptus because if you bundle it in a cloth bundle, that will transform the ordinarily chocolate mousse-coloured print to be had from Eucalyptus citriodora to a rich purple.
Mostly it's the importance of knowing what you're dealing with and familiarising yourself with the beautiful poetic litany that is the correct binary nomenclature of plants, because it can give you so much information. If something is called Tinctoria or Tinctorius or Tinctorium as the species name, then you know it's traditionally been used as a dye plant, so you're home and hosed. if something has officinal, or if officinalis as a species name, it's been traditionally used in medicine. And for a plant to be used in medicine, it will have interesting chemical properties, will have possibly alkaloids and certainly acids and oils of various kinds. And you can be pretty sure that they'll have an interesting effect in the dye bath. And again, no, colours like nigra, meaning black, or sanguineus, meaning blood-like, can give you very interesting clues as to which plants you might aim to choose first. Hypericum perforatum, commonly known as St. John's wort. In the dye pot, it's quite spectacular, and it's always a lovely trick to show school children this. I like to make up a pot of Hypericum perforatum dye just in water in a stainless steel pot. It makes a lovely dye that looks a lovely red colour. You can introduce a piece of cotton and a piece of wool to the same dye bath, and the cotton will dye yellow and the wool will dye a cherry red, because there are two sorts of colours present on this plant. Colour is very closely related to geography, because when you look at the colours that can be coaxed from Australian indigenous plants, they're by and large the colours that we actually see in the landscape. With eucalyptus, the soft grey-green leaf translates under the influence of heat as a catalyst to brilliant golds, browns, reds. These are the earth colours of our landscape. And then if you look at European or Northern American landscapes, they are rather softer landscapes with softer qualities. And interestingly, the colours to be derived from their leaves are very distinctly related to their regions. So when you find that you have a student who sneaks in a eucalyptus leaf into a bundle in North America, you can see when you open the bundle, the eucalyptus print is like the elephant in the room. It just simply doesn't belong. But some of the simplest things in terms of colour can be, you know, taking a flower from the garden and beating it into your favourite T-shirt to cover a tomato sauce stain. And black pansies, viola nigra, they're some of the most exciting ones. I tend to regard the entire world as my garden, and there are places around the world to which I'm strongly emotionally linked, I must say, that are outside Australia as well as within. But there's something incredibly wonderful about walking into a eucalyptus forest, especially on a hot summer's day. You know, the height of summer is when the eucalyptus leaves are at the height of their dye powers, and the scent of the eucalyptus forest is just, it's almost overpowering. And I've been in places around the world, in California, Italy, France, and suddenly you find yourself in a thicket of eucalyptus somewhere. And it certainly brings back a prickle to the back of the eyes when you think home.
Slow dyer India Flint, who as a starting point encourages one and all to pick up their local council's weed handbook and discover the spectrum of gems in their own backyard.
Producer Miyuki Yokiranta with the latest in the Permeate series. India Flint exhibits globally and has worked closely with South Australian dance company Lee Warren and Dancers. To see images of her work and to hear her recipe for the perfect eucalyptus dye, head to the Off Track website. Just go to abc.net.au/radionational and search for Off Track. The tie-dyed T-shirt in RN's Summer of Love. I'm Joel Werner.